We still have 35 minutes left in this building.
Item 12.
Item 12.
Item 12 is the enforcement report.
Okay.
And this is a written report. We provided a summary of what happened with, or the status with the Francione brothers. And with FYP Vineyards. Then it goes on to page 2 with the other ag industry administrative liabilities and the disposition of those. We had reported on those earlier just verbally, but there's the written version.
I've not signed up.
Right. So failure to file, as well as not paying the state board fees, not paying the monitoring fees. Let's see. Then this is an opportunity for questions. And additionally, I'd ask Harvey Packard, who's our enforcement chief, to give us just a few sentences of what the state board did a month and a half ago. I think it was February, what was it, 3rd or something like that. Fran was a state board meeting. As far as the enforcement policy changes.
Take advantage of this levitating microphone. Harvey Packard, staff. And talking about the supplemental environmental projects policy that the state board adopted in February. The existing enforcement policy has, or I guess I should say had, a section talking about SEPs, and this new policy supersedes that old section of the enforcement policy. And in it, the state board took a couple of actions that are significant. And the first one is they limited the amount that a regional board can, the amount of a penalty that the regional board can put toward an SEP to 50% of the total penalty. And with the exception that the water board can propose an SEP exceeding 50% of the total amount and get authorization from the chief of the Office of Enforcement before issuing the order. That was a significant change. And the other significant change, in my opinion, is a requirement that in the new policy that requires oversight by the water board, or for any SEP that requires oversight, the discharger has to supply the full cost and reimbursement for the oversight. So it's unclear exactly how that would happen. For instance, if you get reimbursement for staff costs, but there is also an option of hiring an independent management company to provide oversight for regional board staff or in placement of regional board staff. Those are the two significant changes, and in my opinion, it's going to make it difficult for dischargers to propose SEPs. I don't see why, what additional benefit they'd get other than paying the penalty if they have to go through this process. We knew that these changes were coming. We commented several times throughout the process, and I think our comments did have an effect on the policy as it evolved in its proposals and its proposed states. Originally, the limit was 25% as proposed by state board staff. I think it's fair to say that staff didn't agree with these proposed changes, and our comments reflected that, but we weren't overly concerned because at the same time that the state board was considering this SEP policy, they were also considering changes to the policy on how money from the cleanup and abatement count would be spent. And those proposed changes included setting aside 50% of all the money deposited in the cleanup and abatement account bioregion towards environmental improvement projects within that region. So it would have greatly streamlined the process for approving projects to be paid for by the cleanup and abatement account using money that came from penalties from the region. However, the State Board did not adopt that policy. They only adopted the first part and not the second part, which kind of puts, I think, our board in the predicament of making it more difficult for discharges to choose an SCP, but not allowing us the streamlined ability to get cleanup and abatement accounts. The board, as I understand it, didn't rule out making changes like that to the cleanup and abatement account policy later on, but what they did ask is that their staff update the existing procedures manual for the cleanup and abatement account. They want their staff to train our staff more on how to use the cleanup and abatement account. They want more updates to their board and updates on the website about what projects exist and how their projects are proceeding. And a few other changes like that. So that's what happened as far as I can tell, and it remains to be seen how that will affect our dischargers. The one thing that's not affected, as far as I can tell, is SCPs that are proposed in conjunction with the mandatory penalty, because that process is statutorily defined and is not affected by this policy.
So You said that you think it would be a disincentive. Part of our comments were that by limiting it to 50%, if you have not a huge penalty, then that could really restrict the viability of certain projects. They may just not be viable if it's a much lower amount. Right. But aside from that, let's say there is a project that's viable. Couldn't the discharger propose, let's say there was a $100,000 project, mm-hmm. couldn't they propose that it's funded to the tune of $95,000 and then $5,000 is reserved for oversight costs, however that's going to happen?
That's a possibility, yeah. The oversight costs let me look at this. Oversight costs, as a general rule, are not costs that should be considered part of the direct cost of the SCP for the purpose of determining the value of the SCP. So the way I read it, the oversight costs that they're reimbursing us for, or paying an outside management company for, are aside from the penalty.
In addition to?
Not considered part of the penalty amount.
Mm-hmm.
That's the disincentive that I see.
Mm-hmm.
They end up paying more than the penalty.
Thank you.
Okay. But do we know that's absolutely for sure the way it's supposed to shake out? Or is that, in other words, has the Office of Enforcement issued any guidance on that or had any discussions with the roundtables about that?
Not that I've had yet. It may not affect the third-party SCPs as much, where the discharger sends money to a third party to implement a project.
Right.
Because that third party then is responsible for the oversight and the management.
Oh, okay.
I think that will be a little easier to do. But as far as the discharger itself doing a project, they are required to pay for the oversight on top of the penalty.
Okay.
As far as I can tell from this policy.
And just for the board's benefit, we historically have provided oversight. We think it's irresponsible to have basically grant funds in a way that where we don't have oversight, both technical and administrative. So we provided that, but that's been part of our consideration in terms of is this project really valuable?
Mm-hmm.
And that means there's a cost because it takes some of our staff time to provide that oversight. And that's why there have been some supplemental environmental projects where we have recommended against approval, even though they've proposed them. So we have provided the oversight. It's just the method of providing the oversight.
I have a question to clarify, just so I understand. If
The penalty is $100,000, and so $50,000 can be allocated to a step.
Right.
Are you saying that then a discharger would have to pay $100,000 plus $5,000? An additional $5,000 gets put in there, or whatever the oversight
that's
cost
my,
is.
That's how I read it, yeah.
Okay, so it's going to increase their cost to what benefit to them. But also, I mean, I was kind of, initially I thought, well, this is good because I know the burden on the staff is a concern, and I saw an opportunity maybe to have another equally effective, you know, and assured track for oversight. But I don't see why a company, unless they're incredibly community-minded, are going to go in the path of more cost to themselves.
It sounds like it's just a way to get rid of steps without getting rid of them altogether.
Not true, is it, Fran?
Well, that's why I said it.
There's a fundamental concept shift that has gone on in the Office of Enforcement and in this document, and I think it's been characterized actually quite accurately. And the shift is that enforcement should first and foremost be a should be a penalty. It should be a disincentive to perform what's being punished in the future. But it's also recognized that some good projects have come out of it, but that one of the ties of, in the future, the projects, the SEP projects, should be either directly or very closely associated with remedying the problem that was caused by the enforcement charge. That's a fundamental shift. Rather than it being a way of raising money for local areas to do projects, so the emphasis really wasn't, and you're absolutely right about that, it really wasn't about how to make it easier to do local projects. Now they did offer a second approach, which was to take the cleanup and abatement account and essentially give it back to you. What came out in the board meeting is that you can make access, you have access to the cleanup and abatement account. It's just some regions use it more than others. And so the staff was told you need to work with all the regions so that they understand how to get in and use it more effectively for their own projects. And so that's where that directive came. And it was not seen as essential, at least at this point, to make a change in the cleanup and abatement account, essentially an accounting change, saying, okay, how much did you bring in, and how much are you going to get out of the cleanup and abatement account? It became kind of an accounting nightmare. The best thing to do would be to work with your staff and work with you, and have you clear about how to get into and use the cleanup and abatement account and use it more than you've used it in the past if you haven't used it that much, and try not to make it an accounting issue, but make it more of you're using it for the things that you need it for, and that could be more than you take in or less than you take in. It just depends on what you need and the case that you make.
You make this thing about this fundamental shift, but the fundamental shift is that they don't want to. They want the money in that account.
Actually, that's
because no. For a SEP, we can only use 50% of the money.
It goes into the cleanup and abatement account, and you can get it back. You just have to ask for it. Absolutely, I mean that's the point. It was 50% goes into the cleanup and abatement account. 50% can go into a SEP. If you are using the cleanup and abatement account more for your project,
so if you put 100% into the cleanup and abatement account, I could go in there and ask for 110% back.
If you have a good project, of course.
Well, that's the issue of the state board determining whether we had a good project or not.
Well, I think.
See, but on the other hand,
that's the perception, and what we really do. I know that's the perception, and maybe it's the truth, because I can't say that it's not. I haven't been around long enough. I've only been around 2 years, but after the discussions this afternoon, I would say give it a year. You know, let's have an annual report.
You're learning fast.
In a year, and Reed, I am sure, will be doing more training. The next WQCC, the meeting that all board people come to, I think is going to focus on enforcement, and these discussions will be we'll have some robust discussions by then. Reed will have come out to all the regions. Dorothy and Jonathan are going to be coming to all the regions over the next several months. And so my advice is you could be better off if you are using the cleanup and abatement account.
But my point is that if you committed the crime and you got the penalty here, and you could use 50% of that money in a SEP to remedy that deal in the same place, then it should be used here. And then if we need more to get the other half, we'll go back and get it again. But at least we're guaranteed to get half of it back within our region.
You'll have 50% here if you have a SEP.
Yeah, but they're penalizing us to get that 50% because we have to pay that additional 5 or 10% more.
Now, on that particular issue, I'm positive it was to try to make the cost of actually doing the SEPT
more
transparent, instead of it being absorbed by regional boards or regional staff or state staff.
It would be, but
it was to make it more transparent. I'm positive that that's.
So you're saying that if it was $95,000, if it's $100,000. And $5,000 is what it's going to administer it. We could take it should be all part of that deal, and the $5,000 comes out of the $95,000.
Well, again, I would say let's see in practice. Your hypothesis is this is going to dampen the interest of a $100,000 penalty.
Of any penalty, because you're going to assist.
But that's your hypothesis. Yeah. Let's test it.
Oh, so I could tell you exactly.
We're going to. Well, actually, this is a very responsive board. I will say that, and it's Dorothy Rice is extremely interested in the enforcement issues and also in working with the regional board. So I know I.
Tyler, we're cranky.
You may be cranky, but I think this. I think you really do have a good opportunity, and everyone needs to be using the cleanup and abatement account more for their own purposes.
I just want to voice my disappointment in the state board's action, because historically this board has done tremendous amount of work to better water quality by using the SEP projects to do that, and then to tie our hands by this action. Now, maybe other regions are not doing as well as we are, but I would have thought that the state board or the staff would have looked at this region to see how successful that we have been to model their procedures for the future. But instead of that, they just made it across the board, and without even addressing the letters that we sent with our opposition and the reasons why. And I think if you or any of your board members would look at all the projects that we have done with the money that we have used, you'd be amazed of the good projects. And now you're taking that away from us, and I have problems with that.
I disagree that we are taking that away from you. It is yours to access and use. If you take advantage of it, it shouldn't change.
Well, let me tell you, my long experience in government, once the money leaves here, it's awfully difficult to bring it back.
We do have four.
I don't want to be argumentative, but I'm really disappointed because.
Thank you. I'll take that back. But you'll have plenty of chances to have this discussion over the next year.
We currently have about four proposals submitted recently for cleanup and abatement account funding.
Yes. We have two for the LID Center pending.
Right.
They're coming up on the state board's agenda, I believe, that your next meeting, I think. And I just wanted to also add for the to let the board know that we're certainly going to test this theory about the money being available. We're going to test it.
I look forward to hearing from you in a year.
Thank you very much for chiming in there. Do you have anything else, Harvey, on the policy?
That's it.
Okay. Any other questions on this item?
No.
No, I've said my piece.
Okay. All right, that's it for today then.
That's it for today. We will reconvene at 8:30 in the morning. Well, we have...